Well, tomorrow is the last day of the Christmas season, which ends with the baptism of the Lord. So it's my last opportunity to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, as well as encourage you on these next 2 days to just splurge as much as you want and anything your heart desires. Obviously, that doesn't include anything that's sinful, just good things to splurge on. But may these remaining 2 days of Christmas continue to just have the joy of the Christ child in all of your hearts. And today, this Sunday, we encounter a reversal of roles from what we encountered 2 weeks ago at Christmas, where 2 weeks ago, Jesus is born, and we rejoice at the great gift that he is to each one of us. And we find ourselves at Christmas in a position of reception, receiving our Lord. And we are questioned with how are we going to continue to receive the Christ child into our life? How will we let him save us from our sins, fears, weaknesses of our life? And will we even receive this gift of a Savior, or will we continue to try and save ourselves? And yet today we join the three Magi and reverse this role and are invited to consider our role as a giver, as a bearer of gifts. And we are questioned with what gifts will we give to this newborn king who is in our midst. And this is an important step because so often in our life of faith, we can stay stuck in that position we found ourselves in on Christmas Day as the receiver. And our relationship with Christ is centered on what he can give to us and what we can get from him, whether that be healing for ourselves or a loved one who is sick, forgiveness of our sins in the confessional, or eternal life in heaven. And this isn't a bad place, for Christ does all of these things. He is a very generous God who loves us and bestows all of these gifts upon us. But as usual, he invites us to something deeper, and that is a deeper relationship with him. And as we know that no relationship is really a true one if it is only one-sided, and the one person is the one who is giving. And so today he invites us to join the Magi and consider what we can give him. And this is a strange role to find ourselves in, for what can we give God himself? God has everything. And so God, knowing that we need some help with this, gives us a start of an answer from our three kings, the Magi, and their three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I know I come from a long line of preachers who talk about these three gifts and their significance, but these gifts show us how to deepen our relationship with Christ by giving to him and not just receiving from him. And so let's jump right in with the first gift of gold. This first gift of gold represents kingship, which is pretty understandable for the King of Kings, that he should have his royal line recognized. And this, however, as with all the gifts we look at, is not and should not be a one-time gift. Each one of us, each and every day, is invited to give the gift of kingship to Christ. For Jesus is not a tyrant. He does not demand or force us to obey or to listen to him. In fact, it's quite easy to do the opposite of what he asks of us. So Christ does not force his kingship upon us. Rather, he waits for us to give it to him in our life. He does what no other king does. He lets his subjects determine the extent of his reign. So each one of us is asked today to give the gift of kingship to Christ in our own life, in our personal life, to truly make him the king of our heart. He will not force himself as our king. He must be given it. And this cannot be, as mentioned before, a one-time gift, but it must be a gift we give to him constantly. Every time we choose to pray before turning on the TV, choose to volunteer and do acts of charity over what we personally want to do in that moment, when we tithe over buying what we want, when we follow the commandments in the church he gives to us, We are giving Christ the gift of his kingship. And so we must be generous givers. For as we learned at Christmas 2 weeks ago, Christ is more than generous with us. And we receive much from him, but we also have much to give him. And it starts by each and every day looking for ways to gift him the crown of our heart, the gold. Second gift is of frankincense, which represents worship. And again, when we think of going to Mass or praying, we do so thinking about what we are getting from it, or that we need prayer for our own life. And so we start by thinking about what it does for us. We need help with something, and so we go to prayer to ask God for it. We need forgiveness, again, so we go to the confessional. We need spiritual strength and nourishment, so we come here at Mass to receive the Eucharist. Again, all of these are true, but we also need to realize that God does get something from our worship as well. He doesn't need it, but he does receive from us. And this comes from the simple fact that God wants to be with us, that out of his abundant love for us, his true love, he wants to spend time with us. This is why he became man, so that he could save us from our sins and we could be with him for all eternity. He doesn't want to waste 1 second without us spending time with us. And we can learn this insight from this from Mother Teresa, who in her prayer life, when she was praying with our Lord as he hung on the cross and Jesus said, "I thirst," she realized that he wasn't just saying those words out of a physical need for thirst, but the thirst of his heart, that he literally is thirsting to be with us, and that when we spend time with him, we quench his heart of that thirst. That's why in every chapel of the Missionaries of Charities throughout the world, they're very simple chapels, but in each one of them, on the wall above the tabernacle, is written, "I thirst," so that everyone who steps into that space is reminded that they are quenching the thirst of Christ every time they go to pray. It's also, there's this Benedictine monk who, when he was praying in adoration, the Lord spoke to his heart and told him how much he is consoled by his presence. And he invited this particular priest to make a point of spending hours in prayer in reparation for all those people who do not pray, who simply walk by and do not spend time with him. And so it's beautiful to think that every time we go to prayer, we console Christ's heart, the loneliness of his heart that thirsts for each one of us. So imagine how differently we would approach prayer and the sacraments if we imagine ourselves what we're giving to Christ in that moment, quenching his thirst. So we must be generous givers of worship to Christ. And it starts each and every day looking for those ways to gift him with that gift of frankincense. The third and final gift of myrrh, which represents the death of Jesus. Myrrh is traditionally has been used to be placed on the body after someone has died, before they've been entombed. And so it's a realization that Christ died for us, that he gifted us his death for our salvation. And we are asked in turn to gift our death as well to him. More so, I should say, we should gift our life to him. Now, first, this happens by kind of sacrificing ourselves for him in our daily life, but secondly, through these little daily gifts that we can give as well, dying to our selfish desires, the trappings of the world, sacrificing material wants to be generous, fasting, even outside of the time of Lent, offering up the sufferings that we carry, even submitting to church teaching, which in a sense is dying to our opinions or what we want. All of these little deaths we can give to Christ. And we do so knowing what happens afterwards, resurrection, that when he give him these gifts of dying, he might resurrect us from them, that we would not live for these things, these temporal things, but the things of heaven, eternal things. Throughout Christmas, if you have been listening to the opening and closing prayers of the Mass, there has been that constant theme where we'll hear themes of being able to be detached from the things of this earth, these temporal things, so we may cling more firmly to the eternal things, the things of heaven. And so we must be generous givers of thine. And it starts each and every day looking for those ways to gift him with the myrrh in our life. So 2 weeks ago, we received the greatest gift we can receive, Christ, the Savior of the world. Today, that role is reversed. And like the Magi, we become gift bearers. We come bearing gifts of gold, kingship, frankincense, worship, and myrrh, thine. How often and when we give these gifts is up to us.